Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park.
Service, we look at Nehemiah 5, verses 6 through 13, and we thank God for the reading. And you can follow your Bibles, and encourage you to bring your Bibles, you have the Bible app and your Bible, if it can help you as well. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 6 through 13. When I heard their complaints, I was very angry. After thinking it over, I spoke out against these nobles and officials. I told them, you are hurting your own relatives by charging interest when they borrow money. Then I called a public meeting to deal with the problem. At the meeting, I said to them, we are doing all we can to redeem our Jewish relatives who have had to sell themselves to pagan foreigners, but you are selling them back into slavery again. Let me break that down for you. They're moving forward, but being pulled back at the same time. How often must we redeem them, and they had nothing to say to their defense? In other words, on one hand, I say I'm helping you, but on the other hand, I'm hurting you. Let me translate that into 2019 language. 2019 language says that I believe in, I am against abortion and believe in pro-life. I believe in pro-life as long as the child is in the womb, but when the child is born, I take away their programs. That's 2019 translation for you. Let me come back to the word. Then I pressed further. This is Nehemiah. What you are doing is not right. I like Nehemiah. He doesn't bite his tongue. Should you not walk in the fear of our God in order to avoid being mocked by enemy nations? I myself, as well as my brothers and my workers, have been lending the people money and grain, but now let us stop this business of charging interest. You must restore their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and homes to them this very day, and repay the interest you charged when you lent them money, grain, new wine, and olive oil. Let me give you the interpretation. I not only want you to give, but I want you to give them more than was taken from them. I'm going to pull all this together. Don't worry about it. I came to work in this service. I'm going to work it. Amen. They replied, we will give back everything and demand nothing more from the people. We will do as you say. Then I called the priests and made the nobles and officials swear to do what they had promised. I shook out the folds of my robe and said, if you fail to keep your promise, may God shake you like this from your homes and from your property. The whole assembly responded, amen. And they praised the Lord, and the people did as they had promised. Amen. You may go to your seats around the building in the presence of our God. A focused faith. That's what I'm dealing with in this service. A focused faith. The characteristic of focus is a characteristic that is needed in terms of persons being successful. There must be focus. Focus is what we tell the athlete who is training for success. Focus is what we tell the student who wants and needs to do well. Focus is my avoidance of distractions, knowing distractions are coming, but focus is saying that distractions will not throw me off. Focus. It is an essential model. It's an essential theme that we have to adopt in our lives. Focus. Focusing on the better you, better self, better disciple of God, better servant of God. I want to focus. The sense of focus. Focus is a blessing in this high definition era that we now live in. We need to have focus. Many of us who are accustomed to our HD know when things are out of focus. Again, that all can also happen from a spiritual perspective when your life becomes out of focus and disjointed. I am now disrupted. I am moved. I am shifted to another place, and God is trying to call me back to focus. I'm in worship. The devil right now is trying to mess you up because you've got alerts, text messages. And so, but you have to right now say, I'm going to focus. I'm focusing. I'm focusing on what is it, God, that you need to say to me in my situation. I have some things that I am wrestling with, and I need your direction, instruction, and I need your protection. There's a sense of focus, focus, focus. There are three areas we want to look at in this worship, in this message. Adequate reflection, meditation, and communication through prayer can drive us in the right direction. I have time to take a step back, time to reflect, reflecting on 2018, years before. I'm meditating, but in this meditation, it is focused on God, and then I communicate through prayer. And as a result of that, the Holy Spirit can use these tools to drive us in the right direction. Secondly, in this message, let us strive for all of our steps to be in the right direction. I want to move forward. I want to let some things go permanently, and I want to move forward. I'm striving that we can touch, we can agree, we can have faith and believe that we are going to lock arms. And in our locking arms, we have made a family decision, a marital decision, whatever it is, that we are going to move in the right direction. I'm rebuking anything that causes confusion in your family,
in your home and in your life. I'm rebuking it right now. Anything that gives you the purpose of having a sleepless night, I'd say right now in the name of Jesus that deliverance is here, that you can move in the right direction. I'm believing that for you. Regardless of what your diagnosis, whatever has been told to you, whatever you are dealing with, we are praying for you and with you as we move collectively in the right direction. And again, that could also be even said in the life of our church. That's why we start off our year in revival. And we start off our year trying to set the pace for what 2019 shall look like. Thirdly, our greatest rewards come from God. You thought it was the lottery. No. Our greatest rewards come from God. Matter of fact, how valuable is breath? How valuable is that? How valuable is it to know your name and know how to get back home? Now, I could throw in a third one. And the third one would be, how valuable is it for you to sit down and enjoy a good meal? Because the reason why I say that, because some of us are doing too much enjoying the meals, and we... So I'm careful on that one because I come back, focus. We had one of our ministers give a testimony in one of our New Year's Eve services, and he shared his health tips of losing 52 pounds in 2018. And of course, I told him you need to share that because a whole lot of folk are trying to lose it. And some of us go through the yo-yo. We lose it, we gain it, we use it, all of that. But I said, you need to share what you have done and what you're doing. And he talked about sugar and starches being cut out and cutbacks that he's made and exercising that he's done. And even he told me in the earlier worship, I've signed up for a half marathon in March, and I'm setting a goal for myself. There is the necessity of focus. I say all of that, and I come back and dig into this message, and I dig into this message because we're looking at Nehemiah, who is a builder and one who has power. He has position, and he has power, and at this moment, he is calling the people together for a time of reflection, meditation, and communication through prayer. He calls them together because he said, I need to call you all together because something needs to be said to us. We're in a challenging period, and I don't want us to stay stuck where we are. A parked car will do you no good. It might be good in your garage, but we want to know how good is it on the road. And so he brings them together, wealthy and powerful persons. He sits them down and he finds out about some complaining that has been going on. And Nehemiah says, he was very angry. He heard their complaints. He thought it over. That's reflection, verse 7. And then he spoke out against these nobles and officials. He fought before he spoke. Don't miss that. A whole lot of us speak before we think. And we let our emotions drive us. And there has not been any careful reflection. Nehemiah said he thinks it over, then speaks out against the nobles and the officials. And then he tells them, he said, this is what y'all doing. Y'all, what you're doing is not helpful, is hurting, is damaging, And sometimes you are hurting people and you don't realize you're hurting them. You're hurting them because of your disobedience. You're hurting them because of your unfaithfulness. You're hurting them because of your words. Words can land on and in us. You're hurting. Focus, focus, focus. Said Nehemiah, said, I realize that some things that have been done, our family members have been sold into slavery. I didn't read it, but I come back to verse 5. We belong to the same family as those who are wealthy, and our children are just like theirs, yet we must sell our children into slavery just to get enough money to live. We have already sold some of our daughters, and we are helpless to do anything about it, for our fields and our vineyards are already mortgaged to others. I am a sellout. If you are not sold out to Christ, you are a sellout for Satan. Focus. You cannot be in the middle. You've got to be on one side or the other. You've got to make a decision, and focus can help you to get there. You complaining, but yet you hold the key to get out of where you are. You complaining, but if you started to focus on your faith and to realize that if you trust God, he can bring you out of whatever situation you're in. And when that invitation is extended later, don't you sit your behind down and not get up here, because you need to make that move right now. I heard your complaints, and I was very angry, Nehemiah said. I thought it over, spoke out, told them, I thought, I speak, and then I give them direction. And I thank God for direction, because all of us need direction. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we come to church. We need direction. We need direction. Lord, my late mother's favorite song was, Lord, guide my feet while I run this race, because I don't want my running to be in vain. We need guidance. That's what helps us. That's what worship will do for us. Worship will help us with our focus. If you only casually come, you can only casually get blessed. But when you become serious about it and you are focused, you are determined, and you're going to say, these are moments I have set aside, and I've set them aside for the purpose of worship. That's my focus. I'm serious about it. I'm not going to take it for granted, because allergies could come around. Next tomorrow is not promised to me. You could get a good doctor's report today and die tomorrow. Focus on the very fact that God is able to give us eternal life. He's able to give us eternal life. We got to strive that all of our steps are going to be in the right direction. That's why Nehemiah did not make a decision and say, this is what I'm going to do. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What Nehemiah said is, all y'all get over here. We need to talk. And we need to talk about things that we're doing. We need to look at what we have been doing, and we have not been operating like we're on the same team. And we need, if we're going to be successful, we need to all come together for one reason and one purpose. I went to high school with a guy. He had fallen out with the coach of the team, although he was the best player on the team. He had fallen out with the coach of the team. Coach ended up in the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame coach. He is still to this day the leading scorer in the history of Villanova basketball. He's the all-time, his name is Larry Hennessy. Coached our high school team at Neptune High. But we had a player who did not like the coach. Hennessy was kind of, you know, kind of loose, and so he let him do kind of his own thing. So I'll give you an example. We would have games, team would come out to warm up, and, you know, layup drill, all that kind of thing, you know, they come through, and he didn't come out with the team. And once the team came over off the court, then he would come on the court and he would warm up by himself. He would do his warm up. The team is getting direction from the coach, and he's out now warming up. Then they announce the starting lineup. I leave him unnamed because I don't want you Googling him and trying to find out what's going on, but he was still in the starting lineup. Now, most of us, we wouldn't tolerate that. I mean, I don't know how coach tolerated it, but he tolerated it. And then they'd introduce four starters, and then they'd introduce him. He'd strip off his warm-up, toss it over to the sideline. You know, the hand signals a slapping five, and the game would start. One game, coach took him out of the game. He was really hot. Coach took him out of the game, and he came out of the game, sat next to the coach, and took his sneakers off. Sat his sneakers next to the coach. All of this protest. Now, you must know that Neptune had some great teams, and they won championships, but this team won no championships. And a part of why they could not win a championship is they were not working as a team. That's why I'm lifting up the story. You've got to understand that when you've got to set a priority in your home. Prayer will be the order of the day. Worship will be critical. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus. Even if you're drunk, you're going to know that we're serving Jesus up in here. And so, but Nehemiah says, I want for us, I don't care how much power, position you have, we need to all pull, push, pray in the right direction. And if you do that, success can be there for you. It's up to you. I can't make you get there, but I can say to you, this is the direction that I am suggesting. Let us strive for all of our steps to be in the right direction. And if not, there are consequences. Now you need to read that. Need to read this because Nehemiah he says if y'all don't do this, I'm gonna pray a different prayer. And my different prayer is verse 13. I shook out the folds of my robe and said, if you fail to keep your promise, may God shake you like this from your homes and from your property. I am praying for your shaking. But look at what they did. They said, you don't have to pray that prayer for us, because they all responded by saying amen and praising the Lord. They were doing wrong when the story starts. But in the midst of the story, they make a shift. And the shift says that now they are praising God. What life is going to demand from you are shifts. You remember when you got saved? That was a shift. Do you remember when you decided I'm going to become serious about my faith? That was a shift. You made a decision that I'm not going to be in the middle. I'm not going to be passive about my faith. That is a shift. And you have to make that decision that you're no longer concerned about the applause of people, but you're concerned about being pleasing in the eyesight of God. So when Nehemiah started, he was not popular. He was willing to stand alone. See, when you've got focus and you can stand alone, then when people will feel the anointing on your life, and that anointing will start to affect them, then they can all get to verse 13 and say amen, and all of us can praise the Lord. That's how serious one's faith is. Serious walk.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park. I love you, Lord.